Hey there, listeners of That Stupid Fantasy Football Show. If you are hearing this right now, that means you are subscribed to the show, but to our old RSS feed. So a good thing for you to do after listening to this episode is to unsubscribe to the show and then resubscribe to the show, and then you will get all our new episodes without having to worry about it ever again. So unsubscribe and then resubscribe to That Stupid Fantasy Football Show. Thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello, welcome to That Stupid Fantasy Football Show. And thank you to Kaleo for the intro music, their song No Good. You like this tune?
It's actually pronounced Kaleo.
Kaleo?
Yep.
Who would have known that?
Me, evidently. they're from Iceland.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, good music. I like them a lot.
Yeah. We'll cut it short here with the music. I'm not sure what the level is putting it through here, so next time we'll play it longer if you can actually hear us. I don't know. All right, let's get into the show already. Since the last episode, we had Tony Romo retire.
Aw.
Pretty sad, right?
Like, yeah, but is it for real?
Yeah.
You think he's done for good? You don't think he'll ever play football?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Why would he? I mean, unless some injury to Dak Prescott happened in November or December and he wasn't going to come back for the playoffs, I could see that being the only chance. Everyone knows Romo couldn't last more than 6 weeks if you played today. That's why no one wanted to trade for him. That's why no one wanted him except for Houston and not even really Denver. That's it. Isn't that crazy that just Houston wanted him?
Yeah, why didn't he go to Houston? I don't get it.
Because they didn't offer any draft pick. It's because they said, well, it's not worth a draft pick when we know he's going to get hurt in 6 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, I guess. And so what, I mean, he retires. Now he's a free agent technically, right, though, right?
Yeah, but he's not gonna, he's got a better gig being at CBS.
Yeah, not getting hit in the head.
Oh, yeah, it's a great gig.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm sure he'll be good at it, too.
And jobs like that don't open up very often.
No, and he's a really likable guy.
He is. I'm not sure how good he'll be, but I think it was an offer he couldn't have refused, really. I know he probably could have gotten another offer in the next, like, say, 2 years. So he played 2 years with Houston. He probably could have gotten an offer in 2 years. But they really needed to get Phil Sims out of there.
Yeah.
I think it might have been more about Phil Sims. I think CBS went all in. They're like, we gotta set this guy out to the pasture.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So is John Lynch, though.
Yeah, well, he's in the boot. He's an executive now with the Niners.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, so you won't have to hear him.
Yeah. So
until he gets fired.
Yeah, until he gets fired. Oh, boy.
That's mean.
Yeah, it is mean. But he'll definitely wreck that team.
That team can hardly be wrecked anymore.
Yeah, no, it really can't.
They got something going now. They're going to be all right. I think they're going to be all right. Kyle Shanahan in there. I think he's going to be a good coach. I do think it can't get worse.
Got Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
Matt Barkley. You know, they just got whatever you know, they saw the Bears won 3 games with these guys. They're like, let's get them.
Right. Yeah. I think Hoyer could be good enough. I think Barkley could probably be good enough if I think it'd be all right. As long as they give him a little bit of protection. I don't mean good enough to win 10 games. I just mean...
No, good enough to win games.
Yeah, I just mean good enough to
win one.
I'd say like 4 or 5.
That's being super generous.
I don't know. It's at least better coach, a better you know, there's some hope over there this year as opposed to the last 2 years in San Francisco. Yeah.
No, I agree with that.
You got the hottest coaching candidate on the market. I think he was for sure. It definitely was.
I don't know. I mean, the Rams didn't even interview him.
They've been a terrible organization for years as well.
That's true. That is very true.
They've had Jeff Fisher at the helm for seven.
They decide to hire a 30-year-old after the first interview. They're like, we are enamored with this guy.
Right. Yeah, that's a disaster organization. Yeah. That's not going to turn around for a few years. I have more hope in San Francisco than Los Angeles Rams.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So speaking of quarterbacks not being able to get jobs and things like that, let's talk about Kaepernick. First, with the Romo thing, I want to say real quick that I think he would have been worth a 6th or 7th rounder. I think Houston just should have done that and just signed him.
Totally.
And they really should have, because on the chance that he might have stayed healthy for the season, or maybe his injury after 6 weeks was only like a sprained collarbone and not a shattered one.
Yeah, it's worth the risk. I mean, what are they going to draft in the 6th round? Come on.
NFL team, they value their draft picks too highly at this point. And you see it in fantasy, too. You see it in fantasy. In our keeper league, you value draft picks higher when the draft is approaching than you do during the stretch run the year before. You're just giving them away at that point. I'll give you a 5th rounder for Randall Cobb or for Alshon Jeffrey or whoever.
Yeah.
But when it comes back around, it's a little bit different, so they should have done it. That was a dumb move. I think it does potentially pave the way for Garoppolo being sent to Houston with the relationship that they have with Bill O'Brien and Bill Belichick, or Kaepernick going to Houston.
Yeah, I also think Houston could be in the market for a QB in this draft. I mean, I think where they draft, I've heard people talking about them looking at Kaiser, or, you know, like maybe one of those quarterbacks that are supposed to be taken later in the first round or early in the second.
Yeah, this is a team with playoff aspirations, Super Bowl aspirations. They gave the Patriots all they could handle, or almost all they could handle, in the divisional round this past year. With a healthy Tony Romo, they could have potentially beaten the Patriots. Their defense is that good.
Yeah, on the flip side, I mean, Tom Savage is a guy they drafted, in the 3rd round, I think, a couple years ago. So it's a guy they like. I mean, I think it's a guy they want to give a chance. So maybe they wanted to see what they had with him.
Maybe, but
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
I mean, because he came out of Pitt with the big thing on him was he had a really strong, accurate arm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a huge thing in the NFL. Especially with a guy like
Hopkins. He could be good. He looked all right.
Yeah. I mean, they have some really good weapons for him to throw it to. That's for sure.
They do. They do. And really, that's who the big loser is in the Tony Romo retiring fiasco, was DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller can still get there, as even with a mediocre quarterback. I mean, look at what Hopkins did with Brian Hoyer. Mm-hmm. I think they still have value, but I think, you know, without somebody like Romo or Garoppolo going there, you have to temper your expectations.
Yeah. Right. So what about Kaepernick? You think he goes there?
Honestly, I don't think so. You could take it from two different ways. You know, one, I think, you know, they want to give Tom Savage a shot, and if you put Kaepernick there, people are going to expect Kaepernick to start. And then also the whole political blackballing aspect of it all. I mean, you're there in Houston. You're in a very conservative, Republican, you know, area where he might not be embraced. So as a franchise, do you take the chance on a guy that's not going to be embraced by your home crowd?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a sad story that he hasn't even drawn up any interest or drummed up any interest, and really the speculation being because of his kneeling during the national anthem.
Yeah, I mean, I
think
that's an aspect of it that can't be denied. I mean, obviously people are going to say, well, the past couple of years he hasn't played well. I mean, he was benched in favor for Blaine Gabbert and had nothing to do with him kneeling. I always thought he was overrated, even when they went to the Super Bowl. But here's a guy who has experience in the playoffs, experience in a Super Bowl, who obviously has talent athletically. And, you know, for all the guys out there that are being signed and are being thought of as starting quarterbacks, he's a guy that has to be in the conversation somewhere, at least as a backup or at least as a shot, you know. I just don't get it. I mean, because so that it goes back to, I think, the political aspect of it all. And, you know, teams, you know, we hear these reports, GMs are blackballing him. Our own president is, you know, going out of his way to blackball him. You know, it's just ridiculous. And it's obviously, that aspect of it is obviously very racially motivated.
Right. Well, okay, a couple things here. The problem with Kaepernick as a backup is you need a starter who has the same type of skill set, so that if he were to come in and replace the starter because of injury or whatever... Maybe, yes. Yeah, you're right. That's actually a really good fit. Taylor and Kaepernick can do some of the same things. You need someone who can run. You need some designed runs. I mean, Kaepernick's a fucking Clydesdale. The guy's an incredible athlete.
Yeah, I mean...
And he was one pass away from being a Super Bowl-winning quarterback.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too, is even if you're not sure completely about him being fully your backup... Like, if you're like, oh, well, he doesn't match with what we're trying to do, I mean, why not even get him as your third string and just, you know, set up some wildcat or just some different formations where you can give a change of pace out there?
See, I mean, that's isn't that
worth it? Isn't that worth it?
No. See, that's not worth the political headache.
You're going to have to pay him too much?
No, because that's not worth the political headache.
Okay.
Of signing this guy and having the president of the country tweet, you know, I think I call for a boycott of the New York Jets because Kaepernick is on that team.
Yeah, but our president's not racist, right?
Well, hey, let's who knows? But let's get into it politically a little bit because you mentioned that some GMs may be scared off by that, and I think that's true. That there was a report that some GMs. Are afraid that if they sign Kaepernick, the president is going to tweet about it. And just like I said, you know, call for a boycott of the Jets or whatever team he signs with.
Yeah. And I mean, and I think in general, when you look at football fans in general, it tends to skew a little bit more conservative. I mean, obviously,
I don't know.
I mean, I think, you know, if it didn't, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. The fact there was such an uproar for him protesting because of police violence against African Americans, to think that people would actually get angry about that. And I think it's because, you know, we live in a society, especially on the conservative end, where patriotism is a huge thing. The American flag is a huge thing. A lot of people have family members or service members, and they feel disrespected without actually sitting there and, you know, doing the critical thinking. And actually looking outside the box of their own narrow scope. So I think, you know, if you're catering to the business of that, and if those are your customers, as a businessman, you wouldn't want to piss your customers off.
Yeah, exactly.
And I get that. I get that completely, you know, and I don't think, you know, a GM saying, I don't want Colin Kaepernick on my team because I don't want that headache, I don't think that's a racist thing to say. I think that's a businessman thing to say. And as we can see in football especially, it's all about the business. I mean, they have a commissioner that caters to the owners, not the players. You know, we have a commissioner that caters to the owners, not the fans. You know, because it's a business, and who makes all the money? The owners, you know, and who gets that kickback? Roger Goodell.
Right. So, okay. So let's go back to Kaepernick's decision here. Now, as far as being offended, when I first heard about it, I was a little up in arms, and I said, why the fuck would he do that? And then, like you said, you got to look into why he actually did it. He is not trying to be disrespectful to the troops or to the country. he is trying to raise awareness for the sort of the, well, the Black Lives Matter movement and the police killings.
Brutality. And I think too, it's you know, and what better avenue to do it? I mean, look, obviously it got people talking about it, maybe some in some shapes for the wrong reason, but it starts a dialogue. It gets people talking. And unfortunately, there's too many people that didn't want to talk about it. They just wanted to just automatically judge him. And, you know, unfortunately for him, I mean, I'm sure he's, you know, he's still made a lot of money. I'm sure he's saved a lot of it. But unfortunately for him, he doesn't have a job.
Yeah. He isn't the brightest bulb in the... He's definitely done some stupid things
since doing that. Obviously, going on record saying he didn't go out and vote.
Right. And the socks, wearing socks with a pig, like a Porky Pig with a police hat.
That didn't help matters either.
In pregame. What he initially did was a noble effort, I believe, although he did it in a way where it was going to eventually cause a storm once people saw it, but he really kind of crossed barriers. Like, it really had nothing to do with like the national anthem or anything like that. It's not like when that basketball player, I forget his name, Muhammad Abdul Raif or whatever, when he did it in the NBA, it was religiously motivated. So this was just a stance that he was trying to take and awareness he was trying to raise, which is a noble thing to do. Use your celebrity to raise awareness for something that is concerning.
Yeah. And he's and you know, on the flip side of the, you know, bad things he's done since then, you know, in terms of not voting, in terms of the pig socks, he's also donated a lot of money to different causes. That I think is, you know, very noble. And, you know, I think, you know, in terms of fantasy, he's a guy that still definitely has fantasy value. You know, if he gets on a team like, you know, the Buffalo Bills and Tyrod Taylor gets hurt, you know, he's thrown to Sammy Watkins. And, you know, and if they draft like a guy like Mike Williams in the draft, you know, all of a sudden Colin Kaepernick's a guy we're wanting to own. A lot of people picked up Colin Kaepernick at the end of this past year.
I started him. You included. I started him in games that mattered.
And then he
got benched and really fucked me.
But he did have some huge games. So he obviously still has value as a quarterback, as a fantasy player. And, you know, hopefully he gets a shot somewhere. I don't know if he will.
Listen to this. I agree. I don't know that he will either because of what we're talking about and because he doesn't really fit as a backup unless you're right. It could be Buffalo or there's probably a few other areas.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But do you think he actually helped the problem a little bit? Because maybe a year ago, I felt like that was all that was being talked about in the news was police brutality and killings and this video, dashboard video. Of this and court cases and people covering up the brutality and all this injustice. Yeah. And now obviously a lot more people are focused on politics because of the circus that's been going on since last summer. Really right after this story broke.
I think it definitely
but there hasn't been as many is what I'm trying to say. I feel like we don't see that
are getting reported heavily across America. I mean, obviously police brutality is probably something that goes on you know, more often than we'd like to know and or, you know, like to hear about. But I think he definitely shined a light on it, and I think he got people talking about it. I think, you know, obviously the things we saw across the country and the things we, you know, read about got people thinking, like, this is something that there needs to be something done about this. So I think it was a combination. I think him, along with the other players that protested, whether they just put their arm up, you know, with their fist up in the air during the national anthem or where they kneeled themselves.
I like that more.
I think he got a dialogue going and, you know, obviously surrounded by negativity in some ways, but also, you know, got it out there a little bit more than maybe it would have been. I think any talking about it is good. In terms of having a dialogue about it. So if he can start those conversations by doing what he did, I think that's a positive thing in the right direction.
Yeah, I do. I did appreciate the players who raised the fist instead of the kneeling. I thought that was more appropriate.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, they saw the backlash from the kneeling because the kneeling just seemed more disrespectful. But I think the people that were completely offended went out of their way to show their rage on whether it be Facebook or even at a game. I saw games at a game, you better not kneel, we're in America sort of thing. Those are the type of people that are not willing to have a conversation. They're not willing to understand why it's happening. They just want to have their blind rage and act like, you know, because they have an American flag on their truck, you know, they're more of an American than any you or I. I just think in general, sports, when people say, oh, you know, you're in sports, stay out of politics, is the most irresponsible, ignorant thing to say, because we should all be involved in politics. We should all be involved with what's happening around us and what's happening to us. And I think, you know, if he's, you know, going to be the poster boy for that or be somebody that kind of started that or not started it, because obviously, you know, go back to Muhammad Ali, Carl Lewis, you know, guy, you know, other people that have made statements in the past, you gotta respect that and respect that they care and that they think more than just sports, because these guys are human beings too.
Yeah.
And they should care about what happens to our country. I think that's patriotic to want to see something.
I think it just rubs people the wrong way. I think, like, when athletes or actors, for example, who I think the general opinion is probably, like, actors don't know what they're talking about, or football players are meatheads. Like, stick to what you know. You know, you don't know politics. I don't want to hear you preach to me. Like, when the ridiculously overrated Meryl Streep makes a two-minute speech about the president after winning an award, that rubbed the president the wrong way. He called her ridiculous.
Sure, rubbed his supporters the wrong way. But these are the same people that voted for a crooked businessman reality TV show host. You know what I mean?
Okay. So it's we're not here to throw stones at.
Well, no, but that. I mean, if we're talking about that, that's, you know, it's the same thing. And but I mean, it is. I mean, you know, if you're going to say, well, this actor doesn't know what he's talking about, you know, well, you know,
my I do want to bring up that one of my aunts on Facebook wrote something posted an image, I think, when the Niners were 2-12 or something like that, and Kaepernick was benched. It was like the headline. She posted the link, and she said, something like, "Oh, this is like God come, like karma coming back to get you for kneeling."
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, what do you care? Like, how, like, exactly, like, here's the thing. It's like, people that were still,
she
like,
after, watch football.
Exactly. It's like, why are you bothering yourself there? Because either, it's one of two things. Because, you know, you had a family member that may have been injured or killed in the service, and you felt he was being disrespectful, and that's all you could see. Or you have had family in service and you just feel like he was being disrespectful and that's just all you can see. And that's fine, whatever. And I think the other part is you might just be racist, you know?
Yeah. In my aunt's case, I don't think she is. She's definitely had family, her dad included, in the military for years. So yeah, she was emotionally angry about it because of that, but
yeah.
You really need to look deeper to separate the two, because they are separate. And we're not saying that he did everything right, obviously.
I just didn't want to. A lot of people don't want to look deeper.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you'd just rather just be offended and move on.
Yeah. Well, that's the same thing, you know, with people that go out and vote for somebody, you know, regardless of who they vote for. After the election, a lot of times they just stop paying attention.
Right.
And they just go, oh, well, my guy won or my guy lost, and, you know, I'm done with it. It's over. Yeah. It's like, well, no, it's just begun.
Right.
I mean,
speaking of other people who can't. Oh, go ahead. You want to tie a bow?
No,
on this?
I was just gonna say, you know, to go back to fantasy, if Kaepernick does get picked up by a team like the Buffalo Bills, and you know, you might want to keep an eye on him if Tyrod Taylor gets hurt.
I think he's definitely monitor where he goes if he goes anywhere else.
He's got to be one of the better backups in the league if he does get picked up.
Certainly one of the most talented. Now, I don't know that he can run a full playbook, though. That's kind of always been the knock on him.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he should go to the CFL, frankly. He would be a legend in the CFL. Oh,
I'm sure he'll get, like, if he doesn't, and if he wants to continue playing, I'm sure he'll get picked up by the CFL or something like that.
Yeah, if he wanted to, he could do that and really dominate, I think. Yeah, I wish him the best of luck. I do hope he stays in the NFL because he was really an incredible player to watch a few years ago.
Oh, totally. And
really someone I called my favorite player to watch for probably two seasons.
Yeah, very exciting.
So now switching a little bit to other guys who can't get jobs, LeGarrette Blount and Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
What do you see what's happening here?
I think Peterson's still, it might be a money thing.
Yeah.
Where teams, or a money years thing. Teams are unwilling to give him the money or the money years he wants.
Yeah.
So he's still just kind of, and I think his agent's like, don't worry, you'll get a job. Let's just play the long play here. But after a certain, and I think it might be something for both these guys, actually, might be something that teams look at after the draft.
Right. See how the draft breaks if you're in the running back market.
Yeah.
And if you don't get the guy you want, just sign one of these guys pretty cheap.
Yeah. Or if you end up getting a change of pace back in the draft rather than a lead back, you go, okay, we got this guy, now we can go out and get this guy.
Yeah. I almost, as a Patriot fan, I really want to see what Rex Burkhead can bring to the table in that starting job. So I almost kind of want Blount. I almost feel bad for Blount, too. Like, the guy had 18 rushing touchdowns last year, and he's won two Super Bowls now? I think with the Patriots. But he's only gotten paid $1 million a year. And, you know, to us doing this podcast and probably to you listening, that sounds like a great deal. But, you know, what's this guy going to do after he's done, which is going to be in a year or two? Like, he's got to still earn money.
Yeah.
That it's really not that much money, you know. Yeah. And for a guy who scored 18 touchdowns, took a beating. Yes, he won a Super Bowl and he got to play with Belichick and Brady. That's great. But I kind of want him to take like a 3-year, $15 million guaranteed offer from the Raiders, but it's not out there.
Yeah, I think 3 years is pushing it for him. I think, you know, he's a guy that will probably get another year-long or 2-year contract. I mean, I think he'll be lucky if he gets a 2-year contract, because a lot of people probably think, well, he's just a product of his environment. You know, he was running with the best offense, had a lot of goal line opportunities. Obviously, he's a great goal line back.
Yeah,
He'll land somewhere. He's got to.
He reportedly has an offer on the table from the Patriots, so I think he's probably just waiting to see, probably waiting until after the draft and seeing how it breaks out. Maybe he gets an offer. Maybe someone gets hurt, too.
But I just don't think Rex Burkhead is your lead back.
I don't know. I think he could be sneaky valuable. Don't underrate him. I don't know if you watched him on the stretch last year.
I saw him. Okay.
He'd be a three-down back.
Okay, all right.
Potentially more valuable than Blount.
Oh, man. God. I hope the Patriots miss the playoffs.
Oh, that'll never happen.
I can't wait till it does.
Okay, well, that's been a pretty good conversation, I think.
Wait, weren't they dead against the Chiefs a couple years ago? Wasn't they someone I remember calling for Garoppolo?
I was, yep.
Oh, and by the way, Dalvin Cook's pro day, people were calling him special.
Oh, okay.
Scouts were saying it was a special pro day, so.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's good to know.
Because I remember we were talking about his combine, saying it wasn't that great.
We were.
So maybe he's the guy you start looking at again.
Okay. He's, first or second running back in the draft still, I think, though.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Thank you very much for listening. Follow us on Twitter @StupidFFShow. Thank you.